Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Kaynes Technology Limited Q1 FY25 conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Aditya. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you all to Q1 FY25 results conference call of Kaynes Technology India. We have with us senior management represented by Mr. Ramesh Kunhikannan, Founder and Managing Director, Mrs. Savitha Ramesh, Chairperson, Mr. Jairam Sampath, Full-Time Director and Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Rajesh Sharma, Chief Executive Officer. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Ramesh Kunhikannan for his initial comments on the quarterly performance. Then, Mr. Jairam Sampath will take over, and then we will open the floor for question and answer session. Thanks, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Kaynes Technology team, I would like to welcome everyone to the earnings call for quarter one 2025. I have along with me Savitha Ramesh, Chairperson of our board, Jairam Sampath, Full-Time Director and CFO, Rajesh Sharma, CEO, and our investor relations partners in the call. We are pleased to share our growth as a company and achievements for the quarter. I am happy to inform you that we have been able to achieve a revenue of 5,040 million during the quarter one FY25, which represents a strong growth of 70% year-on-year. The operational EBITDA margin, excluding other income for the quarter 25, was at 13.3%, and PAT margin was at 10.1%. Our order book surged from rupees 41,152 million in quarter four FY24 to rupees 50,386 million in quarter one FY25. Order book grew sequentially by 22% during the quarter compared to last quarter, representing a substantial increase in monthly order inflow. Growth in order book is led by strong demand across all verticals, more notably industrial and EV, aerospace, outer space, and strategic electronics, along with the railway segment. Specifically, the aerospace, outer space, and strategic medical electronics vertical, we have secured a sizable customer that will significantly increase our overall revenue portfolio in the upcoming years. From a business standpoint, we have continuously endeavored to enhance our organization and transform into an integrated EMS company, meeting a larger portion of the needs of our clients. Our Telangana facility is almost ready and will be active very soon in order to achieve this goal in the area of smart meters. As we move ahead in Atmanirbhar Bharat initiative by government, we are working on getting more on the traction in railways, onboard electronics, train collision avoidance system. We are making significant investments in developmental activities in these areas through leading technology providers. Going forward into the future, this will further augment our valuable portfolio of business along with our other strategic initiatives by Government of India in rail safety. We are very optimistic going forward for our revenue growth, expanding into other key verticals, and will not only improve top line but augment the bottom line as well. For the financial year 2025 going ahead, we expect to have a good traction from all the different verticals, and we'll meet and exceed our estimates of 30,000 million of revenue and corresponding EBITDA margin targeting at 15% for FY25. Keynes is constantly seeking to stay up to date with the newest technology advancements, hence eager to invest in or collaborate with such businesses. We can better serve our current customer base and attract new important clients in India and abroad by maintaining our focus on vertical competency and implementing a continuous improvement plan in quality, delivery, and automation. We are in the final stage of obtaining government approvals for our new investments and expect the approval soon. Now the new government is informed and budget has already announced. We have acquired land in the state of Gujarat, which will be starting our construction shortly. Meanwhile, we also activated the collaborations and the team formation on onboarding is happening parallelly for our OSAT business. We expect a positive response in the OSAT business in FY26. As far as our approval is concerned, it is in the final stage and is expected at any moment. Regarding the HDI printed circuit board project, we are proceeding as per plan, having set up the team. We are in the final stages of land acquisition, and is indicated, as indicated earlier, we expect to post revenues in printed circuit board business in FY26. We believe that as we take the final steps towards bare board, PCB and OSAT, it will help us become a truly integrated electronics company. This is only possible because of the hard work and dedication of our entire team, and I want to take a moment to express my sincere gratitude for their contribution. I would like to sincerely thank each and every one of our excellent investors for their encouragement so far in our journey, and expect continuing support in the future too. Thank you once again, and we look forward to exciting times ahead. I will now hand over the call to Jairam Sampath to take you through our financial performance. Thank you. Over to you, Jairam.
Thank you, Ramesh ji. Thank you all for joining the call today. And as we start the new fiscal year, I'm happy to share Keynes Technologies financial results for the period ending Q1 2025 and share with you the highlights of the same. For the first quarter of 2025, consolidated total revenues were at 5,040 million rupees, representing a 70% year-on-year growth. The consolidated EBITDA for the quarter was 699 million INR, showing a 66% year-on-year increase. The EBITDA margin for the quarter, excluding this other income, was at about 13.3%. Our consolidated profit after tax for the quarter was INR 508 million, up by about 106%. And the PAT margin for the quarter stood at about 10.1%. Our current order book, which stands now at 50,386 million, that's about 5,038 crore Indian rupee. The net working capital at the end of the June quarter was at about 121 days, which is similar to the previous year same quarter. However, our inventories were higher on absolute basis as we have to make advanced purchases keeping in mind the requirements of the upcoming quarters as we plan to execute revenues in excess of INR 30,000 million in FY 2025. There were temporary pressures on receivables too with a few customers. We expect this to improve in the coming quarters. We have planned the net working capital to come back to the expected lines as we progress during the year and will reduce significantly on an average by the end of the year on a year-on-year basis. Consequently, our net debt at the end of the quarter, adjusted for unutilized proceeds, was at INR 5,771 million compared to INR 972 million at the end of the June quarter of FY 2024. Our ROE and ROC stood at about 17.4% and 18.8% respectively for Q1 2025. We continue to make sustained progress on our expansion and continuously adding newer lines across various facilities, especially Chamarajnagar, in line with to make us a truly integrated facility for EMS. Also, our Telangana facility first phase will be up and running by the end of August 2024. In the new project areas of OSAT as well as HDI PC board manufacturing, we are likely to start posting revenues by the FY 26. The requisite government approvals are expected at any time now, since the new government has taken over and the budget is presented. We will keep all posted on the key developments as we move ahead in the year. We have also received tremendous support from you all and hope to have the same kind of support going forward into the future. I would also like to thank ICICI Securities for helping us to arrange this earnings call. With this, I request all participants to come in with their questions, and I now open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Bhumika Nair from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, sir, and congratulations for a good set of numbers. So just wanted to first understand this, 55% acquisition in Austria. If you can just talk about what is it exactly, what are the revenues, what is the investment for this thing, if you can just elaborate a little bit about that.
Yeah, good morning, Gurmukhaji. Thank you for attending this call on a Saturday. Unfortunately, we didn't have any other time to do this. Anyway, I thank all the other participants also to take time off their personal time and do this. So we have just taken a board approval for proceeding with the project. And some more details are being worked out, and at appropriate time, we'll announce this details. It's going to be a significant project, but beyond that, we would come back to you once all the nitty-gritties are worked out, Gurmukhaji.
Sure. So the other thing is, you know, we saw a very strong uptick in terms of the order intake. And you said that, you know, there was decent orders that came in from out of space, strategic medical customers, etc. Can we get some more light? I mean, you know, is this like a multi-year contract? How large are the orders from, you know, some more details on this will really help us understand how things are moving and, you know, whether this kind of order intake that we've seen in the current quarter can continue as well going ahead. So some color on this, what is the execution timeline, etc.
Sure, Gurmukhaji. See, firstly, the order comes in chunks, as we have discussed earlier too. So when a large order comes in, obviously the average order inflow per month goes up a tad, much higher than what we actually execute and so on. So typically we have brought in three major areas the order inflow. One is, of course, as you correctly pointed out, aerospace, outer space and defense. The second is the industrial area, industrial and EV area. The third is medical area. And these are multi-year contracts. Obviously these orders, some of the orders, not all of them, but some of them exceed probably reach up to about 20, for the next 5 years too. So like, for instance, in aerospace and other areas. So, going forward, the order of the day will be, yes, every once in a few quarters, we'll have large increases when the customers commit large amounts of business. And typically in the kind of segments that we work in, the horizon, as I have explained earlier, is longer than, let's say, 1 year and so on and so forth. So in any particular order book, I'm happy to tell you that this order book probably will suffice for our execution this year almost. There are a few more orders we're expecting. So obviously that will exceed the kind of targets that we have set for ourselves. So let's see how to manage that. So the horizon of the orders is longer and is getting increased day by day. And so that's a good news. So the order book will keep growing at similar pace. And you can expect some reasonable, after execution of all the orders, etc., you can expect some more increase in the order book at the end of the year.
So, sir, of this 5,000 crores, what is the split of a large, longer duration, multi-year kind of thing? What would be the quantum of the order book in that?
Yeah, so, I think the question you're asking is, we have received an order for a two-year time frame for one of the industrial products. I'm not at liberty to tell you exactly what that product is at this point in time. But suffice it to say that this is significantly, let's say, this constitutes about 10% of the order book, where the execution is expected to be, let's say, 1 year later than today. So within next 1 year, about 10%, another 10% will get executed later than 1 year in a time frame of 2 years. So
what normally we do is whatever we present here, we don't give you more than 2 years. But 70% of our orders, we have a window period of 4 to 6 years of life. That means the contract will be either first year to 4 years. It will ramp up on the second year onwards and then it tapers down. Otherwise, it is around six and a half years.
Absolutely.
Understood, sir. So my second question is on the OSANT business. We're expecting approvals anytime. We've identified the land in Gujarat, etc. If you can also talk about, how is the progress of the customers, how are relationships with, Globetronics, Aptos, etc. is kind of moving on. And what is their response to some bit of a delay that we've seen? How is the work progressing with them?
Sure. So we have also used the time, intervening time. As you know, during the last one quarter plus a few months was there during the election time, etc. So we have used the intervening time to strengthen our relationship with the collaborators and also do a little more in terms of augmenting the team with CTOs, operations heads, and so on and so forth. We've also got some more customers in the advanced packaging area. So the idea is to make sure that we use all the time to develop a good business portfolio in this area so that once the machines are in place, we do get a good quality of business too. So it's been used by the team. This intervening time period has been used by the team to augment the relationship with the customers, etc. And that part of it is going well. And as expected, and I think FY26 end quarter, that is the fourth quarter of FY26, we certainly will have reasonably significant capacity utilization and revenues.
Okay, sir. I'll have more questions. I'll come back in the question queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bhumdevi.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ravi Swaminathan from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. Thanks a lot for taking my question and congrats on a very good set of numbers once again. My first question is with respect to the industrial segment. Just wanted to get a sense as to how the mix is there in the industrial business with respect to smart meters and other products, and what kind of growth that we can think of with respect to this particular category over the next 2 to 3 years. Where does visibility come from in terms of growth across various sub-product categories in this space?
Thank you, Ravi, for joining the call and this very important question that you have asked. So, see, industrial sector is right now happening sector due to certain products. Industrial and EV, if you take lots of happening orders are there. One, of course, is smart meter, both domestic business as well as international business. So we have some excellent clients acquired in both the areas. And currently what we have posted as order is for the domestic segment, but we are also likely to get some export orders in this area, which is significant in nature. So over the next, let's say, 2 to 5 year time frame, we expect probably a tad higher or almost similar growth rate as the company's level. As an overall, the thing I would say that all the verticals seem to be growing similarly to the company's number. Obviously, industrial may be growth a little higher, you know, higher, and something else may be trailing a little bit, but we are broadly at the same level of growth rate. So we see the same bullishness across the categories, all the different vertical categories. So this, that's why we get a confidence that we will be able to kind of manage the portfolio profitability properly. So what happens in each, as you know, as the quarters go from first to second, third and fourth, the amount of sales that is done is also like in a ratio of 1, 2, 3, 4 kind of number based on last several years study. So there would be in some quarters, some orders will get onboarded and so on. So that sector may look a little higher in terms of, you know, execution and all that. But broadly, like last year's numbers, similar percentages we expect in effect. Maybe a little more exports we can probably factor by the end of the year.
Understood, sir. And my second question is with respect to the medical equipment business. So that particular segment had been a bit of soft over the past couple of years in terms of growth, and this quarter you had talked about one contract coming from the medical side. Even competitors like Sirma, etc., they hadn't reported good numbers beyond the point after acquiring the one company. Why is it that this particular segment is not growing as fast as the other segments? We understand that. I think it carries better margins, etc. How's the outlook for this particular category?
Yeah. So while I cannot really comment on businesses of other companies, obviously they are working with some strategy which I am not really privy to. But as a generic comment, our increase in order book in medical area is for exports. And we know it's a difficult area to work because we have been in this sector for more than 2 decades. And so it takes a long time for reputation to build and people to test, you know, try you with newer orders. But I'm very happy to tell you that one of the world's leading medical equipment providers has qualified us both in Europe as well as in the U.S. Business. So we can expect now that to pull up the percentage of medical business. On the other hand, I would also like to point out that these are extremely high-tech and high-critical and highly complex equipment. And it's not very easy to ramp up these businesses. The customers do take a long time before they finalize. So we are happy to tell you that we have now onboarded a very large customer. So I think for some time we will start growing the business and delivering to that customer's requirement.
Understood, sir. Thanks a lot, and once again, congrats on a very good set of numbers.
Yeah. Thank you, Ravi. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder to all participants, please limit your question to 2 per participant. Should have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. Our next question is from the line of Deepak Krishnan from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. I hope I am audible. I just wanted to sort of understand. We've given a guidance of 15% for EBITDA margin, and, you know, 1Q we are sort of flat on flat. Is this a large part of increase driven by, you know, ramp up in aerospace, medical, and those segments? Because at the beginning of the year, you had indicated that these segments, the percentage share may go up by 200, 300 basis points in the overall mix. Is that understanding correct? Is it leverage and mix that will sort of get us to 15% EBITDA margin by year end?
Yes, that understanding is correct. The mix, especially in industrial as well as the aerospace, outer space and the strategic electronics, that will also drive more margins positively. Of course, we don't really talk about margins by sector, but yeah, the mix will favorably change is what we expect. And this is based on our understanding of already orders that we have received.
Sure, sir. And maybe just wanted to sort of understand, I think, you know, Mr. Kannan also sort of indicated something on the Kavach system as well as the progress over there. In terms of our end customer, you know, is this RDSO approval already there in place? And in terms of execution, when are we sort of expecting Kavach to pick up? Do we have anything in orders already, or we sort of expect that to come through? Maybe just one final point. It's expected, how much of the overall cover spend is the content that you kind of contribute? Because it's expected that the overall cover system is about 5 million per kilometer, route kilometer. So how much of that is what Kaynes does?
Regarding Kavach, we are only investing in anticipation of order. India is going to have huge numbers. So, and our relationship with the Tier 1 rail suppliers are also good. So we feel we can get into this business. Using that and keeping that in mind, we are investing this. We will be investing around 40 crores of R&D investment into this project. Proof of concept is what we are being done now. And this should be in the market by first quarter of 2025.
26.
Sure, sir. Those are all my questions, and best of luck for future quarters.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rahul Garcha from Helton Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for the opportunity, and congratulations for yet another strong quarter. Now, I think my question is continuing with the earlier question on the margin. Now, I did see that the industrial and auto had materially increased in the first quarter. Also, the share of box build was lower. So I wanted to understand specific reason for why the margin was slightly lower in the first quarter. And also, the blended margin of the order book that you have, that will be helpful. Also, the existing order book of over 5,000 crores, how much of that is coming from box build and export? I think that's the first question.
Rahulji, thank you. Yeah. So you see, the first quarter, if you notice, it is almost quote-unquote an election quarter, actually. And we are glad that we got to where we actually reached because obviously, the order book is there, but still, the uptake of some of the products which end customer is people like railways and other governmental agencies, the inspection was not being done and so on and so forth. So yeah, employees were on election duty and all that. You know the whole system kind of comes to a standstill on the government side. So that was one reason. So there is a mixed variance, obviously. And within these sectors also, see, for instance, within the different verticals, there is different margin. Some are higher, some are lower. So within the verticals also, there are some products with a higher margin and lower margin. So it so happened that the orders that we executed were of those where margins were a tad lower. But we have done our operating team has done an excellent cost control job to make sure that we didn't we kind of did some austerity measures to make sure that our EBITDA was still maintained. Going forward, the leverage will be available better because, as you know, the sales will increase. First quarter generally represents 15%-16% of the total year. Second quarter will be 25%. So you will start getting some good leverage going forward. And I think so one is the better mix, which will drive gross margin, and then better leverage will drive even better EBITDA. So we are confident that this is a transient phenomenon. And so we think that we'll be past this by second quarter, and at least we'll definitely be better off.
And box build and export share in the book?
Yeah. So the box build, for instance, if you take medical electronics, for instance, the new orders are coming in box build. So box build is a little longer term in terms of development and approvals and all that. So you can see some increase in box build by end of the year, especially in certain industrial as well as medical. We are going to have more share of box build. By end of the year, you will have box build share going up. And as rightly pointed out, it drives also the margins a little higher.
Okay. So my second question is, actually, the export also, maybe you could just touch upon how much was export in the order book. And given that we are probably in the final leg of the OSAT approvals, etc., I want to understand, how many people will you need to run this operation at peak? And do you see an issue of skilled manpower?
Sure. So firstly, on the export order book, see, typically, currently, the export portion is exactly similar to what we actually do, which is around 15% kind of number. But going forward, like I said, in industrial area and some other areas like medical, PLD and also aerospace, we'll have more export orders coming in. So let's say in the longer term, I mean, a little longer than this year's this thing, we can see exports climbing up from 15 to about 20% or so by FY 26, 20-25% kind of time number. Now, as far as the OSAT is concerned, typically based on what my studies about the other companies, etc., an employee, let's say sales per employee hovers around, let's say, 1.15 to 1.35 crore per annum. So that's the kind of number you can take as, so if we plan for, let's say, eventually with this capex, we plan for, let's say, just assume that we do a 3,000 crore, then maybe the number of employees will be a tad lower than that, just about, let's say, 15% lower than that, you know. So that's the kind of employee intensity. But however, it's while it is by definition not a labor-intensive job, but it's very people-dependent. That means highly skilled manpower is required. So from that perspective, I think in India we do have an edge, provided we overcome the problems of all these ecosystem-related these things, which government is actually helping. So I think you will see the competitive advantage building in the OSAT business shortly, maybe in a matter of a couple of years' time. India also will become a reasonably good source for this.
Thank you very much and all the very best.
Thank you, Rahulji.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Hardik Rawat from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations, team, on another set of strong results. While all my segment-related questions have broadly been answered, I wanted to understand that we had, in the 4Q call, we had given a guidance for 70 to 72 days of NWC cycle. The current NWC cycle has come in flat at about 120 days. So are we retaining that guidance? While I understand that this was an election quarter, which is why the intensity could have been higher, but could you just touch upon as to what's our guidance for FY25 in terms of NWC cycle?
Yeah. So while I'd not like to say guidance, but last year we did about 83 days of net working capital average for the year. So it will be superior to that this year. See, the first quarter is always a bit of a problem to defend the net working capital for the simple reason that first quarter is the time when we accumulate a lot of inventories for the future orders. And this particular quarter was a quarter where the election happened. And so because of this reason, election happened, of course, the previous quarter, but I would say during this quarter, we had the election as well as results coming in, etc. So that has kind of disturbed the offtake a little bit. So what happens if the offtake gets disturbed, inventories pile up and a little bit of receivables go up. And that basically affects the networking. So we did take some counteraction and we tried to kind of make sure that we don't onboard too much of inventory, etc. Still, we got to where we are. I am quite confident by end of this year, we will reach better than what it was last year. And as we have been indicating, it will be in 70s.
Got it. My second question is with regards to the other income. Now, other income continues to be elevated on the back of your IPO proceeds being unutilized. So, how do we see this evolving over the current fiscal, the utilization of funds, and how do we see the other income panning out over the next couple of quarters?
Yeah, so Adhiji, it is like this. See, obviously, we had objects specified for the this thing, huh, QIP. So since the approval was pending and now it's about to happen, so this year, obviously, we utilize a lot of capex and so on. This capex is planned over 2 to 3 years time frame. To that extent, proportionately, we'll consume this capex and obviously these and all these things will get converted into equipment. So from that perspective, your other income, but anyway, the EBITDA that we talk about, operational EBITDA, is excluding the other income, the 13.3%. Just wanted to bring that to your notice.
Got it. Thank you so much. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you, Aditya.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sonali Salgaonkar from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Sir, good afternoon and thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. So my first question is regarding your CapEx guidance. Is there any change to that, FY25-26 CapEx?
Yeah, so as we had declared earlier, so we have new CapExes, one in the OSAT business, the other in the PC board business. So it remains exactly similar to what we had planned earlier. It is just that the implementation timeline got delayed by a couple of months because of the election and election results and all that. Otherwise, the CapEx plan exactly remained the same because there are a lot of back work to be done before we can make any changes. So these are the two priority projects with us. One is OSAT, the other one is the PC board project. And obviously, we still have some small amount left in the IPO proceeds to complete our CapEx implementation in Chamarajnagar and Mysore and Manesar plants.
Understood. So my second question is on OSAT. I understand that you are awaiting the final approvals from the government side. But when you start the operations, what kind of revenues / EBITDA incremental to your core business do you expect from FY26?
Yeah, so see, all I can tell you at this point in time is it will be margin accretive to the existing business. Now, exactly what will depend on exactly what orders we receive. And though we have broad MOUs with four customers and so on and so forth, we still have to show them a plant before they can assign a particular product category to us. So more details shortly. Maybe you have to give us a couple of quarters more when we start doing the POC. So at that point in time, we can more. But all I can say is it will be margin accretive eventually compared to the EMS business.
Then any sense on the incremental revenues?
Incremental revenues, typically in this business, the asset turnover is about 1 to 1.2 let's say 2 or 1, in the best case scenario, 1.3 or so. So depending on the capexes and the increase in the capacity utilization, we can compute that. And let's say FY30 May, we would have done all of this 3,000 crores of capex in OSAC. So we should definitely have revenues in excess of 3,000 crores, maybe 20% more than that, you know. Maybe 3,500 crores by FY30.
Understood, sir.
And we would have finished. Yeah.
Sure. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, Sonali.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Kaushik Mohan from Ashika Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Morning. Sir, I just wanted to understand you on a OSAC business. In one of the interviews, I think one of your managers told that in coming days, like, we can see a separate listing for OSAC. And can I understand on the broader terms how large this OSAC business can be and how are we geared up for entire thing?
Hi, Kaushikji. Nice hearing your voice. The thing is, as a company, we have not decided about any listing, etc. So our stand is very simple. Kane Technology is the holding company and all other subsidiaries results get consolidated into it. As far as business is concerned, the OSAT business takes anywhere between 2 to 5 years for it to start yielding, let's say, 80% capacity utilizations and so on. So like I said, our OSAT capex is about 3,000 crores. So by FY30, we can expect about 3,500 crores revenues in this. And my estimate is that the margins will be better than our existing business. But exactly what depends on what kind of products we onboard. And that would depend on customer's decision as to what range of products they want to do with us. But our target is that 25% of business will be in legacy area, legacy semicon assembly area. 75% business we want to do it in the advanced packaging area. So looks like this target is achievable. But the only thing is you've got to give it time for implementation of the first POC line and then do the other approval from customers and so on and so on.
Got it. Thanks, sir. And, sir, my second question follows is on, we have spoken about catching $1 billion on top line by FY28 as a target. So do we have any contribution of OSAC in these numbers or this is a separate number?
No, this is consolidated number. $1 billion is including OSAT and PC board.
Okay. So approximately what can be the OSAT contribution in this? Any backup calculation?
So this is just an estimate at this point in time. Like I said, in OSAT, it depends on We definitely will do consolidated 1 billion, which is like anywhere between 8,500 to 9,000 crore kind of number, depending on what the exchange rate is likely to be at that point in time. So I would say bulk of the sales will be from the EMS business only. So it can be close to about 70-75% will be EMS business at the minimum, and the remaining will be new businesses like OSAT and PC board.
Got it. And how about our capacity utilizations in the current plant, sir?
Yeah, so the capacity utilization typically goes through a cycle of low, let's say 40-50%, and then it goes peaks at about 80-90% when we onboard capacity. So currently, with the new plant coming up in Hyderabad, so we will have probably capacity utilization reasonably under control. But by the end of the year, we think we will reach more like 80-90% capacity, 80% capacity utilization, maybe 70-80%. And then, now, of course, first quarter, we have to augment capacities. The Chamarajnagar facilities, Gamma building will come up. We are also having plants in Pune and up north in Jammu. So those capacities will also fire up. So hopefully we will be able to manage this. So end of the year, we will have maybe 70% utilization. And then, of course, we'll have to add fresh capacities to cater to the additional business for the next year.
And sir, how about our smart meter business? How big is this opportunity? Because now I see that government is very cautious on not losing the electricity. And also there are a lot of reports telling that the focus is going on to hydrogen side to create electricity and different forms of electricity. Like it might be rooftop solar, or it might be wind energy or anything. So, and smart meters plays a very big vital role on this play. So Ajit, can I understand where are we getting the clients and what is this entire division will look like?
See, in the smart meter space, broadly out of 250 million units that were planned to be implemented, about 10 million units have been already implemented. So it's a very large, let's say, use case that has been done. Of course, there were a few queries here and there. Some users said no, etc. Obviously, when you put 1 crore meters, there'll be at least a few thousands of people who will protest, etc. But broadly, the information from our customers is that this entire thing is working, system is working. And so another 240 million meters at the minimum will be there. Then, of course, we are also, it's a similar technology, so we do have access to customers who would be also looking at other metering, whether it's water, whether it's gas, and so on and so forth. So it's an exciting area. So with a good, let's say, a business horizon for next at least 5 to 10 years time frame, you know. So 240 million, you can put roughly whatever is the kind of price of a meter, anywhere between 2,000 to 5,000 rupees, depending on the single phase or three phase, etc. So it's a large amount of business that is coming in, and with the government's Atmanirbhar plan, they are promoting only India designed, India made products. And there is also a good export possibilities in this area.
So how much money are we locking up for this business in our balance sheet?
See, this is an EMS kind of this thing. Obviously, there is an additional capex for plastics, etc., but nothing significant. This also has an asset turns of anywhere between 6 to 8, and maybe nearer to 8, because this will be a product-focused activity. So it's a very probably less asset intensive than our existing business itself.
Got it. So how about the competition? Because the competition is also very strong in this business, right? Is it sustainable with that internal targets of 15% margin that we speak about?
Yes, sir. So two of the best service solution and service providers are our customers in this area. So we think that we'll have a significant and steady market share. So these are proven solution providers across the world. They are global players who are working in India. So we are confident that at least to the extent that we do the business, it will be a stable business.
Sure. Thanks. I'll get back in the queue. It was helpful.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Indrajit Agrawal from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. A couple of questions. First, on the subsidy on OSAT, right? So I just want to understand, how does it work? Is it like the government spends like for like, or you spend majority of the and the government then reimburses at a later date?
Yeah, so there are two subsidies in OSAT. So one is central government subsidy. The second is state government subsidy. Both are in the nature of cash subsidies. They are not in kind, okay? That's the first thing. The second thing is both are linked to a certain class of, let's say, total class of investment. Maybe the land is excluded from it. Land, we get a special subsidy separately from the state governments. If we are approved OSAT land, they give us 50% off on the land. As far as the remaining capex is concerned, that is the total capex minus the land, they give us, central government gives us 50% subsidy. The 50% subsidy is issued on a pari passu basis. That would mean that the moment company invests, let's say, X amount of rupees, the government also provides the same amount of rupee, and this can be then used to purchase capex. So this is pari passu. As far as state government is concerned, similar method works, but the only thing is they await the commencement of operations. That means, which would mean that we achieve the first couple of lines have to be operational and the company has to start doing some invoicing. So we have taken a period of 2 years for this purpose, like let's say FY26, but we are confident that much before that we will probably start doing it, that we start enjoying the state government subsidy. State government subsidy is anywhere between 20% and 25% of the total capex. And this is contingent on getting approval from the central government to subsidy.
Sure. And there is no tax implication of this, right? So this is all independent of the tax output.
There is no implication, it's just a government subsidy, no, there's no implication of tax in this.
Sure.
The only thing is that they want us to work for a period of 5 years, make sure that the assets are productive and we start doing business and we onboard some good technology which then the government can talk about and so on. So they have been actually very supportive in this and helping us. They are also giving us some contacts, etc., to, you know, improve our program.
Sure, this is helpful. And second question is on Kavach. So, understand the proof of concept is still to be done, but ultimately your contract will not be with the government, right? It will be with an EPC player who will have a contract and you will have subcontractors. Is that correct? Or you can select to contract with the government?
Yeah. So, while we have not worked out the actual modality, but see, typically all railway contracts, you know, they say development and manufacturing, okay? They don't really, so we keep key to supply to somebody like railways is an approval from their side. So what we are doing is we are working with a technology provider and making a cost-effective solution for Kavach and getting it approved by RDSO. There are two options there. One, of course, we can directly supply, or the other is through other OEMs. We have all the key OEMs already working with us. And the third option is somebody else's Kavach design also we can manufacture. So we do have RFQs in all the three areas. So maybe the first step for us is to demonstrate that we have a Kavach product, which we will do, like Ramesh said in his opening remarks, we will do probably by the end of this year or early next year. And then we will do this business split between these three different methods, you know.
So are your existing railway contractors or customers the same as the Kavach customers, or there will be different set of customers?
They will be similar, sir. They will be similar because the railway ecosystem is such that the tenders are picked up by implementation contractors who have trained staff. So they align with one of the big major OEMs, you know, in the signaling system. And these are the very same people who will actually implement probably the Kavach program also. So it will be the same ecosystem.
Sure. Thank you. This is helpful. That's all from my side and all that.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Sindarji.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Karan Sanwal from Nivishis. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so wanted to understand, like, from the products that you manufacture, what would be the major components in terms of, you know, percentage value which is sourced from the domestic market currently, like bare PCBs, transformers, resistors? If you could highlight the major components.
So you're talking about, currently you're talking about our existing EMS business, correct?
Yes, yes.
So basically in existing the EMS business, if you say roughly 60% of the entire materials are generally imported, 40% is locally manufactured.
Okay. And what will be the major components in those 40%?
So Karanji, what are the...
Where did we get dropped?
No, I will repeat that.
Okay.
Yeah, so he was asking about the import from EMS business, and I was explaining some of the things like PC boards will get indigenized, and some of the OSATs also will probably source will become India, but again, continue to be imported because it will go to the global supply chain with warehouses outside of India. And so, yeah, so roughly about 60% is imported. Out of that, maybe 10% of sales will probably get indigenized into India, and the remaining 50% will continue to be imported from outside of India.
Okay. And also, if you could state the gross debt level and the average interest cost for the add-on debt?
I didn't get your question, sir. Can you just repeat it slowly?
Yeah, I was asking about gross debt level and the average interest cost.
Oh, okay. Gross debt level. So this is a, like I said, this is a temporary thing. We do have a little bit of increase in inventories, and also a couple of customers, there was a delay in payments. But we have now figured out how to get that organized. So going forward, that will come down.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, Karanji. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rajesh Vora from Jainmay Ventures. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Congrats on a strong first quarter. Ramesh, the $1 billion revenue aspirational target coming nearer, when are we expecting that to hit?
Yeah, Rajesh, thank you for joining this call, especially on a Saturday. So this $1 billion is our aspirational target as of FY28, sir. And like I said, I was explaining, 75%-80% will be our existing EMS business. Remaining will be augmented by new businesses in OSAT as well as the PC board area.
At that level, Jairam, it would be margin would be higher than where we are today, right? Because as you stated, OSAT and PCB will have a higher margin.
Yes, sir. By that point, we would have probably worked on the high-density interconnection boards and also the advanced packaging. So we are expecting the new businesses to be value accretive and margin accretive also. So you are right. It will be the total consolidated numbers should have higher margins than just the EMS business.
Right. And my second question is, I remember having discussing with you and Ramesh about Danaher Corp, which is, I believe, one of your customers. And it has a very good basket of products on the medical device side. And they have done very well over the years on acquisition side as well. So are we accumulating anything from that company or another EMS company?
Sir, you asked about whether we are getting some business from this medical devices company that we have onboarded as a client. Is that the question, sir?
No. I'm saying Danaher Corp, is that one of your clients?
Yeah, Danaher is our client.
Yeah, one of their subsidiaries is a client of ours. And yes, we are seeing some little uptake in this, but too early to declare victory, sir. But yeah, we are qualified by the Danaher Group company. So as and when their outsourcing spend increases, we will be the beneficiaries.
Yeah. And my second part of the question, Jairam, was about, are we benchmarking our company on any other global EMS or companies like Danaher Corp? Is it stuff that we should be about?
Yes, sir. So in terms of benchmarking, sir, we have an internal process of what we call best in class. That means in terms of product portfolio, we should be like somebody like, without prejudice, I would say somebody like a Plexus Corporation, right? They have very cool products, full-built products they make, etc. In terms of margins, we should be like some of the smaller organizations which do EMS across the world in aerospace and all that, which are high margin and protected markets. When I say protected markets, we are niche players who are very difficult to replace. We have developed intrinsic technology. So we conceive us to be an integrated EMS player with doing some technology high-tech products, doing complete value chain for the customer, which would include, of course, box build. And in certain set of our customers who would like to do the what you call the silicon assembly also through our OSAT. And we would also like to do the PC board, which is especially the high-density PC board, so that we become a preferred supplier of people seeking highly complex and highly technology-oriented products, which we believe that the entire electronic assembly is moving in that direction. So in future, you would see two different types of electronics. One will be this commercial electronic. That will also be high-tech, so that will be high volume. We may not be getting there, the commercial and consumer kind of thing. The other is industrial type of thing, which will be high-tech. So we think that we will be a good supplier of this high-tech, and the volumes may not be necessarily high, but they'll be all complex and critical products with new generation of silicon, etc., where in some cases we'll get some opportunity for silicon assembly also.
Lovely. Makes sense, Jairamji. Thank you very much, and wish you all the very best for a $1 billion target. Thank you.
Thank you, Rajeshji. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nikhil Kale from Invesco. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. Congrats on a very good set of numbers. Jairam, your first question was on the PCB business. So like you highlighted on the OSAT, we are looking at maybe like a 3,500 crore kind of a target for FY30. What could be the potential top line that we can achieve on the PCB bare board business? If you could just maybe talk about that.
Yeah, Nikhil, thank you for this question. So the PC board, originally we said phase one maybe will do about 730 crores, but we are now working with state governments to get a little higher subsidy too. So eventually by FY30, I think we would probably have a capex of about excess of 1200 to 1400 crores. So here also you can expect a top line of anywhere between, depending on capacity utilization, anywhere between 1000 to 1500 crores by FY30. So this will be roughly a 40% of the business of OSAT itself. OSAT will be, let's say, anywhere between 3,500 crores. This will be about 2,500 crores by FY30.
Okay. Got it. So by FY30, broadly 4,500, 5,000 odd crore from the new businesses. And safe to say that the PAT margins on these businesses would be similar, would be better than the legacy.
Yeah, it will be higher than our US business. Yeah.
Got it. And just a second question was on the order book. I think at the start of the call, you mentioned that there are some new orders that you've got where the execution time frame is slightly higher. You talked about a 10% kind of a number. So just wanted to clarify this. So out of 5,000 odd crore, broadly maybe 500, 600 odd crore is something which will get executed over 2 years, and the remaining will get executed over the next 12 to 15 months. Is this understanding correct?
Not really. What I'm saying is, I was talking about the orders added. So I was trying to explain the sudden increase. I think the question was sudden increase in the order inflow. What does it mean? Does it mean that this year we'll do beyond 3,000? I was trying to explain that those order inflows are pertaining to some executions which are not in this year. But broadly, 60 to 70% of the order book gets typically executed in the year. So you can take anywhere, let's say 5,000 crore is the order book at the end of June. So 70% of that is 60% of that is about 3,000. We already run 500. So obviously we have good coverage. In fact, there will be a challenge in terms of actually completing the entire thing because of capacity and all related things. Huh? So roughly about 60% at any given point in time for the next 60 to 70% for the next 12 months kind of time frame. So yeah. So obviously most of the orders that we'll execute this year are already there with us. Some customers who give 6 months to a year order, they will keep coming in. And so we will try and make sure that we satisfy the customer with the best possible extent.
Okay, got it. And just last question on the working capital cycle. I think in the past we've spoken about that we are in discussions with our vendors to maybe set up warehouses in India or maybe to suppliers from local kind of regions. So any progress on that? Because, I mean, the way the order book has been ramping up, we'll constantly be in this phase wherein we'll have to kind of order more inventory for our future orders. So then how do you kind of look at working capital kind of coming down? So these initiatives will be important, right?
Yeah. So the nearshoring of inventory is one activity. We couldn't do too much progress last three months, because I think everybody was watching the budget and, provisions for providing some benefit in that area. We expect that another couple of months time, government will also enunciate some policies on logistics. So it will make it easier for people to nearshore inventory. On the other hand, just based on our own screen, we have got positive response from most of the suppliers. So we'll try and do something this year where the locally people keep some stocks for us to relieve some of the burden. So we are working in the direction. More on it maybe by quarter three or so. The remaining improvements that we do in the this thing will be based on efficiency improvements and also making sure the shortages are not there and so on, and also working in factoring agencies for, you know, making sure that the receivables are under control.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I now end the conference over to management for closing comments.
Go ahead.
So are there any more questions?
No, last question.
It's complete.
Oh, thank you.
Hello, sir.
All right. Thank you very much for attending this
thank you.
On a Saturday. We appreciate the interest shown. Probably one of the best attendance on a holiday for a earnings call.
Thank you.
Next time round, we'll keep it on a working day so that we don't inconvenience you too much. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.